Paul McGuire is a man I've got just an incredible amount of respect for, and I believe Paul McGuire to be one of the finest writers out there, and certainly one of the most astute when it comes to current events and biblical prophecy. Paul McGuire is our guest. PaulMcGuire.us is his website, folks. Visit his website. Certainly subscribe to his YouTube channel. Listen to his daily radio broadcast. It's well worth your time, unlike anything else out there. And Paul McGuire is a good friend of this program. And, again, a lot of respect for him. He's our guest today. Now, right before the break, we were talking about the election as it is. If you consider it, well, as I guess if you would consider this a card game, if you're in a game of poker and you're being dealt the cards and you don't have any, well, there's no additional cards. You have to play the hand you're dealt. That's exactly what we're looking at in my estimation. And Paul, right before the break, you were talking or giving some information about the role of Glenn Beck, for example, and people like Glenn Beck who are talking about the candidates and talking about Donald Trump and talking about Hillary Clinton and talking about what we should do as Christians or as conservatives. Why don't you go ahead and continue that? I find that extremely interesting and pertinent to everything today.
Well, again, I want to make the statement, I'm not telling people who to vote for, because I think if I do my job in helping to educate and teach people how to think properly and how to think biblically, then it will become self-evident who to vote for. Just telling somebody who to vote for, that's good for one round. But if you teach, I would prefer to teach people how to think so that whatever comes up then in their lives, they'll know how to make the proper choice. So let's talk about Glenn Beck for a minute. I want to be very careful because I am not accusing him of something. And I'm not making an allegation against him. I'm just pointing out serious questions and some truths. Let's begin with one obvious truth. Glenn Beck is a gifted communicator. He's funny. He pulls in a big audience, so he has a lot of gifts. However, he is a Mormon. And that doesn't mean Mormons can't have good political instincts. They can. But I find it curious that so many evangelical Christians would gravitate to a Mormon to get their spiritual and political guidance. Because purely, now this is based on a purely theological and biblical level, according to the Bible, a Christian has the Holy Spirit, the third person of the Trinity, and that's the Spirit of Truth that is to give them discernment. Now, Glenn Beck is not a biblical Christian. He would hold the priesthood or whatever, but he would be motivated by the Spirit of Mormonism. And I believe that even though there are some Christian aspects externally to the Mormon religion, the spirit behind it is different than the spirit behind a biblical Christian church. So the question is, why are evangelical Christians who are supposed to have the Holy Spirit in them listening to a man who does not have the Holy Spirit in him, who is motivated by the Spirit of Mormonism? It's two different spirits. So right there, any Christian who's looking to Glenn Beck to be their spiritual guru and leader is out of alignment with the Bible. That's purely from a scriptural level. That would be like he's motivated by a different spirit. Now, having said that, we have something called the White Horse Prophecy that has to do with Mormons. And in the White Horse Prophecy, they believe that in a time of constitutional crisis, a Mormon presidential leader will be elected or rise to power to save the Constitution. So I believe that Glenn Beck's thinking is being influenced by this Mormon prophecy. In fact, I would wonder whether he thinks that on the horizon, and according to the White Horse prophecy, there's going to be a Mormon leader at the last moment who is going to rise to power to save the Constitution. And he could be working to that end.
You're right, Paul. He has said that in a speech about a month ago. He mentioned the Book of Mormon, where he said the players on the stage in the political arena, all he has to do is change some names, and it lines up with the quote-unquote prophecies in the Book of Mormon.
Right. And I'm not going to finish saying what I could say, because I know certain things about this from an inside level. It has to do with much higher up people, and for the sake of that, I'm not going to go into that territory. But there are other players involved. Now, the other thing is, who is Glenn Beck? Apart from that, which is important, if you're a Christian, it's important. Apart from that, who is Glenn Beck? So, William F. Buckley, which many of your listeners may know of, and many may not remember him because of their age category, was probably the most famous conservative television journalist for an entire generation. And William F. Buckley was this intellectual conservative who hosted, I think it was the Buckley Report, if I recall the name of the show. And he was very influential, and his name was a household name in America for decades. But it came out that this great conservative, William F. Buckley, really wasn't operating on his own. He was raised up by the CIA. In fact, he claimed to be working for the CIA the entire time he was a media personality. Now, William F. Buckley was also the executive editor and I think the founder of the conservative publication, The National Review, which was also started by the CIA. So here you have one of the most powerful conservative sources in America, William F. Buckley, and the National Review, being to whatever degree influenced or used or whatever by the CIA. It's interesting that Glenn Beck, when he writes a lot of his pieces attacking Donald Trump, he's writing in the National Review. So I'm not taking it any further than that, but I am saying that given Glenn Beck's words and his analogy about, you know, killing of the babies, what he's essentially telling people to do, he's basically telling them, throw the election and don't vote, unless he's trying to have a setup for some kind of Mormon White Horse prophecy. So I think his words are extremely dangerous. I think anybody who listens to him is essentially committing a form of insanity, because if you were to follow his direction, you would guarantee. Here's the thing: we have all the media people and the higher ups of the Democratic Party fully getting behind their candidate. They're not sabotaging their candidate, but here we have the elite in the Republican Party. And the key word is the elite. The people who have made the trade treaty deals, the people who, for all practical purposes, are in bed with the globalists. And these are the people that Beck seems to be in agreement with. So they're saying they're not going to vote, which essentially guarantees that Hillary would win, and Hillary's choices for Supreme Court justice would win. And she has very different views than Trump in terms of Supreme Court justices. So how is it that anybody who claims to be a conservative, and how is it that anybody who claims to be a Christian, and Glenn Beck claims to be a Christian, how is it that anybody who claims to be a conservative and a Christian can empower another candidate who will guarantee the appointment of radical Supreme Court justices, which will enact laws that are in complete opposition to biblical values and biblical teaching? You can't. It's the ultimate act of selfishness. You're basically saying, because my candidate isn't running, I'm willing to destroy my nation forever. I'm willing to destroy future generations of Americans forever, because this is the most important election in the history of the United States. So you have, what does it tell you about the character of George W. Bush? What does it tell you about the character of Jeb Bush? What does it tell you about the character of William Kristol and all these other candidates who are willing, by their lack of support and attack — it's not that they're just lacking support of Donald Trump, but they're attacking him and saying he isn't fit to be president, which is, they're essentially acting like operatives of the Democratic Party. What does it tell you about these high-level Republicans who claim to love America, yet are willing to throw the election and guarantee that Hillary gets elected, and along with that, the appointment of radical liberal Supreme Court justices that will change the landscape of America forever? These men are so selfish and so devoid of conscience that their public attacks on Trump and their willingness to ensure that Hillary gets elected by this Republican elite, which really means the globalist elite, and I would include Glenn Beck in that crowd, they are willing to destroy our nation. I'm telling you, you're looking at, people are saying, I'm praying for God to give me wisdom. Well, God just dropped wisdom on your head. He just dropped 100 cement trucks out of heaven on your head. And if you can't feel the impact of 100 cement trucks falling out of heaven and cracking on your thick skull, you need major help. I mean, major help. Because what more discernment can you want? God just dumped 100 cement trucks out of heaven to crack your thick skull. Right in front of your face, you're seeing these, you know, George W. Bush, little prayer with Billy Graham. Oh, really? Was it a sincere little prayer with Billy Graham? He says he's born again. Where's the evidence of it? How can you be a born-again Christian and a former president of the United States, and God has given you enormous power to speak out and influence for the good of this nation, and since you retire from office, you say nothing, you hide in your ranch while this nation literally goes to hell. And then your brother, Jeb Bush, is so personally offended that he got roughed up during an election that he's willing to destroy the future of our nation also, and give it into the hands of radical liberals who are going to take down this nation. Every one of these men, their characters are being revealed. You know, people are talking about, well, Lord, give me wisdom. I want to know, you know, who I should vote for. Well, part of having wisdom and part of knowing who to vote for is you have to be able to judge and discern somebody's character, their true nature, not who they pretend to be, but who their true nature is. And in every one of the cases that I talked about, I'm talking about men who their decision to stab their own nominee in the back, which the Democratic Party would never do, and betray their country, they are revealing their character. The very fact that they have done this, that they're willing to destroy our nation, reveals their character. They're completely sold out men. They've sold their souls to whatever secret society that they belong to, and that's part of it. And I deal with this in my book, The Babylon Code, which is the number one selling prophecy book in the world, according to Amazon. And I deal with it in A Prophecy of the Future of America, 2016-2017. These people belong to secret societies. They are in bed with the globalist elite, which means they're in bed with Soros and Soros's buddies, but they're pretending to be conservative candidates. They have revealed their character. Anybody who looks can see what their character is. Total selfishness. They're willing to destroy this nation and put Hillary in power rather than vote for a man who admittedly has imperfections, admittedly says stuff that he probably shouldn't be saying. But when push comes to shove, who are you going to vote for? So I would say to anybody who's saying, if you're still in the mode of, Lord, oh, give me wisdom on who to vote for, I mean, God has dropped cement trucks on your head to crack your thick skull. When are you going to open your eyes and look at the obvious?
Very well said.
Paul, let me ask you this. I have this very disturbed spirit or feeling in my spirit that we're seeing a full court press about Hillary Clinton's health, and for good reason. Now we had America's most trusted doctor, Dr. Drew
Pinsky.
Yeah, he came out and expressed his concerns over her health. It almost, and then you have others who are questioning Trump's his ability to lead and other things. But is it possible, Paul, that we're being set up for something that maybe we're not expecting, or the majority of people aren't expecting some sort of change, something? Because my spirit is disturbed. I don't know what to make of my feeling that we're not going to see, when we go to the polls in November, if in fact we do, we may not have the choices we have right now. Do you feel that's the same way, or do you think there's something up here?
Well, first of all, I would say, because I know you and I know Joe, so because I know you and I know you're not some crackpot, so when you tell me that you have this feeling in your spirit, and I have the same feeling in my spirit, I can tell you that the reason you have the feeling in your spirit is the Holy Spirit, which is the Spirit of Truth, and the Holy Spirit in you knows what's going to happen before it happens. That uneasiness you feel in your spirit is not paranoia. It's the Holy Spirit acting like a kind of radar system, and it's telling you that you need to pray, because the Spirit of God in you is actually more powerful than your intellect and reason. Now, ideally, your intellect and reason should work in synchronization with the Holy Spirit in you. So we have two things going on. I have the same sense in my holy, in my spirit. The Holy Spirit in me is agitated, and there's a grieving, and there's a sense, to put it precisely, what I feel that the Holy Spirit is speaking to my inner man, because I share your feeling, is the Holy Spirit is warning me of potential danger that lies ahead in the immediate future, and that I'm to be prepared for it. But the primary way that I'm to be prepared for it is to pray and intercede, because things are going on that I can't perceive, or at least at this moment, know about through my human perceptions. So the Holy Spirit is warning us. That's why the Holy Spirit gives us this sense of unrest. You know, I've been walking with the Lord for about 50 years, and when you walk with the Lord for 50 years, you know Him, and He knows you. And the closer you know the Lord, because you walk with Him, your intimacy with the Lord, your knowledge about, it's like having a good friend. You kind of anticipate what your friend is going to think, or what your friend is going to do in this situation and that situation. Well, after you walk with the Lord for a number of years, you kind of get into a rhythm with the Lord, where when He speaks to you in this way, inevitably you know that something's coming up, and you're supposed to pray and seek His face at a deeper level, because the reason God's giving you that sense of unrest is to alert you to a potential danger that He wants to put the fire out on that potential danger, but He has to do it, or He chooses to do it, in cooperation with His people. So that uneasiness is to lead you into prayer. But you're right on in your spiritual discernment, because there are a number of games that could be played here, and I had the same exact feeling you did when I suddenly saw here we have the full court press promoting Hillary. There's nothing she can do that will get her arrested. Nothing. I mean, if you and I committed any of these crimes, we would be in jail. She's untouchable. But at the same time, there's this massive media coverage of her potential illnesses or sicknesses. Well, we both know that this could mean a setup for something else. So potentially at the last minute, when you think you're going to be voting for choice A and B, one is medically unfit, perhaps. Maybe one is psychologically unfit, and then somebody else assumes power. And there's a number of variables to that. It doesn't mean it's a done deal, but it means that, you know, there's a validity to your concern. There are things going on in the invisible realm or the spiritual realm that involve principalities and powers and the dark unseen forces of wickedness and heavenly places interacting with powerful human institutions and individuals, and that's what you're tapping into.
Thank you for that, Paul. You know, I again, this is just my own, and I've been hitting my knees every night, asking the Lord for discernment, for clarity in this issue. And folks, by the way, those who listened to the program yesterday, I did place a call to Hillsdale College today. I'm waiting on a call back from one of their constitutional experts. In fact, the one who taught one of the professors who taught the Constitution class about the potential for a constitutional crisis should something happen, and the various scenarios that they could play out. So I'm waiting for a call back for those who listened to the show yesterday, I believe it was. So, but thank you for that not so reassuring, but reassuring confirmation with respect to the uneasiness surrounding the ticket today.
Well, the reason for this too also is this. The globalist elite understand that this is the, and those people who are conservative that are on top of their game, this is the most important election in our nation's history. And there are things that will be passed into law and decisions that will be made that once they're made, they're going to be essentially irreversible. We've come too far down the road, and this is like the last final window of opportunity. And if we don't recognize where we are in history, and by the way, not, you know, ultimately all of this is happening not because of a particular president or a particular candidate, presidential candidate we may not like. You know, they're simply actors on a stage. The reason this is happening is because the single most powerful force in American society, which is the supernatural Jesus, the supernatural Church of Jesus Christ, which is composed of all people truly have the Spirit of God in them and are walking with the Lord. That is the supernatural Jesus, supernatural Church of Jesus Christ. They were called to be the salt and light. They were called to exercise spiritual dominion over our nation. They were called to occupy until He comes. And they are AWOL. They're absent from the spiritual battle. And because they're absent from the spiritual battle, Soros and the Soros activist groups and the communist groups and the Marxist groups and all of the kind of the globalist elite and everybody else are running in to fill in the power vacuum. So if God's people will pray and seriously lay hold of God between now and the election, it doesn't mean that all these horrific things have to happen. See, I believe the Holy Spirit is, for those people that are walking with God and are listening to God, the Holy Spirit is giving them this sense of gravity or grave concern, not for the purpose of inducing non-productive fear, but for the purpose of leading them into high-level intercessory spiritual warfare. Because whether people want to believe it or not, we have a parallel dimension to the dimension that we live in, and we have been given spiritual weapons and spiritual power to shape, to a limited degree, our future. So even though certain things may be planned by the powers of darkness, they can be stopped from execution. Let's look at the life of Daniel the prophet, okay? And this is critical that people really read their Bibles. And I talk about this specific story in A Prophecy of the Future of America 2016-2017. And the reason the book is A Prophecy of the Future of America 2016-2017 is because 2016-2017 are, it's game time. These are the most critical years in America's history, and if we don't do what we're supposed to do, you know, all hell can break loose. So, what did Daniel the prophet do? Well, Daniel the prophet went before God, and on behalf of his people, the children of Israel, who were being held in captivity. So God's people were in captivity because they were worshiping idols and breaking the laws and commandments of the Word of God. Kind of sounds like... Yeah.
If we can, let's hold this thought. Sure. We're coming up against the break. Sure. So when we come back, we're going to go right into the prophet Daniel.
Fine.
Yes, exactly. And I just want to mention this. I want to say, give a shout out to Frank, who is listening live from London, UK. Rita from Seattle. James from New South Wales, Australia. Lisa from Frankfurt, Germany. So we've got a number of people listening to this broadcast, both nationally and internationally. I want to say thank you, whether you're listening via Global Star Radio Network or on YouTube. Stay with us.
We're talking with author, speaker, and radio show host Paul McGuire tonight. Paul is very generous. He's giving away 10 free copies of his book, A Prophecy of the Future of America 2016-2017, as well as 3 copies for the 4 DVD set Prophecy of the Future of America. Folks, if you would like to be able to win a copy of the book or the DVDs, here's what you got to do. Between now and midnight Eastern Standard Time, send us an email at studio@HagmanandHagman.com. Spell that all out, HagmanandHagman.com. And in the email, put if you'd like the book or DVD set, give us your name and where we can send it to. We will pick 10 random winners for the book and 3 random winners for the DVD set. And we'll get back to those people who win within 24 hours. Again, from now till midnight, you can send us an email at studio@HagmanandHagman.com for 10 giveaway books of The Prophecy of the Future of America 2016-2017 or 3 copies of the 4 DVD set, A Prophecy of the Future of America. I want to thank Mr. Paul McGuire for being so gracious and for having a fantastic studio audience, for having a fantastic audience out there. The smartest audience in the radio world. If you want a chance to win, again, between now and midnight, studio@HagmanandHagman.com. We're talking with Paul, and before the break, he was getting into the prophet Daniel, and I'm going to turn it over to you, Paul, and let you start where you left off.
Yeah, so I'm going to get into the prophet Daniel in just a second, but as we went into the break, I realized that between now and election time, people need to be prepared for anything, absolutely anything, because it is highly likely that there's going to be a series of very unexpected events, and some of these events may be very difficult to imagine that they could actually occur, but I think we're in for some very, very serious curveballs, very, very serious surprise events. I don't think anything's off the table, and I think people need to be prepared for literally absolute chaos and change and upheaval as we go into this election time. I think we're going to see an all-out intensification of a spiritual battle that's going to show up in this entire election process. I mean, all kinds of things are going to come on loose.
That's exactly what I said earlier this week. Talk about confirmation. Thank you again for that that insight. I do believe that we need to prepare for the unexpected, expect the unexpected, and be prepared for it.
Yeah, you're right. And that's why the Holy Spirit was giving you that sense in your spirit, and what you shared is a confirmation, because God, you know, speaks to multiple people, and when he speaks, the same thing. So people need to be prepared for anything and not be shocked by it, no matter how shocking it may be. And it may be extremely shocking. And you may say, well, I can't believe that's happening here in America. Well, it's going to happen. Now, whether it takes effect or not depends on what I'm about to share. So Daniel, his nation was in a very, very serious time. The people of God were in captivity, and he was in the kingdom of Babylon. Now, here's the thing. Because the external situation was so bad, so much chaos, there was so much at stake, Daniel went before God and went on his knees first. So before he ran out and did a bunch of things, he seriously engaged in spiritual warfare. And the way he engaged in spiritual warfare was he first came before God, repented of his sins, asked for forgiveness of his sins, and then as an intercessor, he repented for and lifted up the sins of the church and the sins of the nation. So he began by repentance, and there's nobody in your listening audience that is disqualified from making this kind of prayer. If they'll always begin with repentance. And then as an intercessor, you repent for the larger sins. For example, the silence of the pulpit and the silence of the church in the time of crisis. You ask God to forgive us of that. Now, so he did that. And why it was important that he did the repentance is because in addition to all the political upheaval and the other kinds of upheaval that was going on with God's people, there was a battle going on in the spiritual world regarding territorial spirits. Now, territorial spirits are biblical and they're real. They are the highest level angelic powers, either on Lucifer's side or God's side, that are assigned very important tasks. So, for example, there is the Prince of Persia and the Prince of Greece that was back there in Daniel's time. And the Prince of Persia is in charge of dominating and controlling entire sections of the Middle East for Lucifer and for satanic rule. And then the Prince of Greece deals with a great deal of Europe and the Eurasian area, and it is a high-level territorial spirit in charge of controlling those geographic regions. So they were blocking the power of God from being released. They were blocking God from sending a supernatural revelation to Daniel. So because Daniel interceded properly and engaged in spiritual warfare properly, and this is why I'm sharing it, you have to properly engage in spiritual warfare, because he repented to God, then Gabriel, which is one of God's highest level angels, said and came to him and began to give him the revelation that God wanted to give him regarding God's people being freed. And then Gabriel made reference to the coming of Michael. And Michael is God's highest ranking angel, especially in terms of overseeing Israel and that area of the Middle East. So what caused these demonic territorial spirits were in control. But when Daniel began to repent, that caused the release and the winning of an invisible spiritual battle, where Gabriel was released to come to Daniel and Michael was released to come to Daniel, and it gave Daniel the supernatural revelation that God's people needed. and that speaks of our time too. So, but what caused this victory in the invisible realm was the fasting and the repentance of Daniel. So that's not just some cute story we look at and say, oh, isn't that, you know, cute? You know, Daniel, you know, we kind of memorialize Daniel and say, oh, isn't he a great man of God? And he prayed and fasted and these angels came to him. If that's what you get out of it, you're missing the boat. It's a lesson. It's a lesson for our time right now in the specific situation that we're in, because above and beyond all the political people that we're talking about and the powerful institutions and the globalists, above and beyond all that is there's an invisible world, invisible realm with these high-level territorial spirits or demonic powers. So behind many of these organizations and billionaires and groups, and some of them are openly Luciferian, there's the activity of high-level demonic powers called territorial spirits or principalities and powers. Now, God is calling every Christian who will listen to him, because the word says God looked for a man or a woman to stand in the gap, but he could find none. But God is looking across America and in other nations in the world for people to stand in the gap. In other words, to begin to pray like Daniel prayed, so that these demonic powers can be blocked, they can be restrained, they can be stopped from carrying out all of these evil agendas that we were alluding to. So there's a number of very demonic evil agendas on the table that we can't see physically, but they're there and they're being energized by demonic forces. So if we concentrate on merely criticizing or attacking the physical political leaders, we're missing the boat. We need to go over them into the invisible realm and deal with the demonic principalities and powers that are controlling them and that are controlling the money. So we go back to the election. Anything's possible. Anything could break loose between now and the election. So what is the church and what is everyone who listens to your program who calls themselves a Christian supposed to do? You need to begin to go before God like Daniel did, and you need to call on God and ask God to supernaturally intervene in this election. You need to pray for the candidates of both parties. It's not anybody's job to sit there and curse this candidate or another. Your cursing of the candidate will literally accomplish nothing in the invisible realm. It will be a cheap venting of emotion, but it won't accomplish anything. The goal is to actually get your hands on the levers and buttons of supernatural power that is so great that it transcends social bots, organizations, and plots. And we need to cry out to God for his supernatural intervention in this election. If we do that, and if we do it properly, then God will release his angelic armies into America. God will release his supernatural power on the election, and God will give us, he'll intervene, he'll prevent tragedy, he'll prevent a takedown of our nation, and to the degree that we lay hold of God, we could see some remarkable changes for good, and we could see our freedoms and the American way of life preserved for at least a temporal period of time. But, you know, again, the ball is in the court of God's people. And so before we stop today's program, I would like to lead the audience in a brief prayer, because unless we understand that these spiritual weapons are very real and that they're accessible, and unless we understand that we can use them, then we're not going to block the things we want to block, and we're not going to release the things that we want to see released.
You know what, Paul? I would just like to, indeed, we need prayer, and I'd like to urge all of the, well, alpha males out there, who never thought that the spiritual would be manifesting in the physical. And I know there are people, there are men out there, who, for whatever reason, were like me, and I, and until just recently, until I met and rubbed elbows with Paul McGuire and Steve Quayle and Pastor David Langford and others, many, many others, I didn't really realize what was happening. So thank you, Paul, for pointing that out. And certainly anytime you want to lead off in prayer, you feel free to do so.
Well, I want to add that, you know, years ago, if you had talked to me about intercessory prayer, I would have barfed. I mean, I would have thought that was something old ladies did when they were knitting or something, you know, from old ladies Christian prayer group. No offense to elderly ladies listening, but I mean, it certainly didn't sound exciting to me. But I'll tell you what, when I was praying, I mean, I've experienced many miracles, okay, many supernatural things that have revealed to me the reality of the power of God. I've experienced many things that unquestionably have revealed to me God's ability to supernaturally intervene. I've seen, not physically seen, the shape of angels, but I've been aware of the presence of angels being sent to rescue and deliver too many times. So I know it's real. And so, you know, as I shared in the first book, A Prophecy of the Future of America, on July 4th, 2012, I shared that the vision I had. And I didn't expect anything. I mean, I didn't go into to the prayer with any expectation. I was just being obedient. I was praying at my desk on July 4th, 2012, repenting of my sins. You know, it was not some big emotional thing. And then repenting of the sins of the church. And again, it was not some big emotional thing. I was just being obedient. But the next thing I knew, I was transported. I was set on fire. And then I was transported to looking down upon the North American continent, where I saw a vision of a revival and a third great awakening if God's people will repent and call on his name. But the force, all I can say is people need to understand something. The force of the power of God and the presence of God, that force was so tangible and so real and so electric. And I'm not, you know, easily swayed by emotion, and I've had many experiences, but I'm not experience driven. I'm very analytical, I'm very rational. But when you've got the equivalent of 100 million volts of the Holy Spirit hitting you in a flash, you know it. You're experiencing something that you know, you have no words in your vocabulary to really describe. And it's something that it's a transcendent experience that confirms the reality of an invisible realm and the need and the incredible power of prayer. So maybe if we have a couple of minutes, I'd like to lead in prayer, if you don't mind.
No, please do so, Paul.
And I just simply want to mention this verse. These people say, well, you know, I can only pray for somebody who's born again and blah, 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 blah. Well, you know, it's interesting that God called Cyrus his anointed, and Cyrus was a pagan king, and God raised up a pagan king named Cyrus. He called Cyrus his anointed, and he called Cyrus his right hand, because he was looking for a man to basically, be a game changer, shake things up, and free his people. And he couldn't find that kind of leadership among his people, so he chose a pagan king named Cyrus. So this rule that God will only work through somebody who's born again and fits the, you know, criteria of what a born-again Christian is not a biblical idea. God raises up pagans all the time to accomplish his will. So if you're listening to the Hagman and Hagman Report, I'm going to ask you to join with us in a brief prayer. And this is not a religious exercise, and it's not about emotion. It's about obeying the Lord. And when you obey the Lord, you get into synchronization with the Lord. And when you get into synchronization with the Lord, you release his power. And there's laws to the power of God and laws to God's divine intervention, like there's laws in auto mechanics or computers or any other area. So if you want to participate in this prayer, and if you want to call on God for what is about to happen, would you please join us? I'm going to pray the prayer with my words, and I invite you to repeat the prayer. and mean it. So, Lord Jesus Christ, we come to you right now, and we start with ourselves, Lord. Forgive us, each one of us, because none of us are worthy to go into your throne room. Each one of us are sinners, have sin in our life, so we ask to be cleansed by the blood of Jesus Christ from all sin. And we ask that you would cleanse us with your blood. We thank you for forgiving us of all sin, and we receive your righteousness by faith in Jesus' name. Now, Lord, we thank you that your word says we can come boldly to the throne of grace because of the blood of Jesus Christ to find an ever-present help in time of trouble. And Lord, this nation is in trouble. So we acknowledge before you, most holy God, that America is in trouble. And we acknowledge before you, most holy God, that the primary reason America is in trouble is because we, the Church of Jesus Christ in America, the primary reason America is in an emergency situation is because we, the Church of Jesus Christ, have failed to listen to your word and have failed to obey you. We have not occupied until you come. You haven't come, but we didn't even bother to occupy. We haven't been the salt and light. We have not stood up for righteousness. We have not taken our prayer assignment seriously. And Lord, to summarize it, we ask forgiveness for the sin of playing church, which is making a mockery of the church. We ask for your forgiveness for participating in the sin of playing church and being a rebellious people. We have, God, invited judgment and destruction upon ourselves. And for that, we ask for your forgiveness, and we ask not for what we deserve, we ask for your grace, your unmerited favor. Now, Lord, we come to you in the name of Jesus into the throne room of God, where we approach you, Jesus, as the King of Kings and Lord of Lords, and the name of Jesus is above every name named in heaven and earth. So we enter now by faith, Father, in the invisible realm, into the most powerful seat of power in all the universe and the created order. We approach you in the throne room of God, where you sit as King of Kings and Lord of Lords. And this is the supreme center of power, transcendent of the ballot box, transcendent of political parties, transcendent of dollars and billionaires and social bots and virtual worlds, transcendent of the press, transcendent of everything, because you are King of Kings and Lord of Lords. And we repent for not believing that. So God, right now in Jesus' name, we choose to believe that you are who you said you are. You are God Almighty. And we come to you, God Almighty, on behalf of America in this time of crisis and the gravest time in America's history. We come to you and ask in the name of your Son, Jesus Christ, for your supernatural intervention into this election and all that it entails. Lord, we ask that you would send your angelic armies into the earth and your angelic armies into America. We ask that you would topple the conspiracies of spiritual darkness. We ask, God, in the name of Jesus, that you would dethrone the principalities and powers. We ask that you would strike down and paralyze the territorial spirits. And Father, in the name of Jesus, as your people gathered together in unison, crying out to you, Jesus, we ask for mercy over our nation. We admit that we are at this place because of what we have done and ask for your forgiveness. Now, Lord, between now and the election, we ask for your supernatural intervention. We ask that the plots of the powers of darkness would not prevail. We ask for your grace. We ask for your anointing. We ask, Lord, that you would give us the leadership that would bless and guide our nation, and that you would expose all leadership to the light of your truth. We also ask, God, in the name of Jesus, that you would forgive our brothers and sisters in Jesus Christ who justify their apathy and they justify their slothfulness through perverting and twisting your word and giving themselves a license to contribute in our demise by playing church and by super spiritualizing their basic obligation to submit to government, when the submission to our government, the basic ordinances to be a good citizen, our government expects us to vote. And therefore, by not voting, we are not in submission to our government, and we contribute in its demise. We repent for all of our brothers and sisters. We repent for every pastor and Christian leader and denomination that would raise its voice in keeping your people asleep and apathetic, or would not use its voice in compromise and denial. We're at this place, Lord, because we chose to be here. But now, God, we ask that you would intervene. Send your power. Send the power of the Holy Spirit on America, and give us a third great awakening, and send a biblical revival, and let the power of God come down upon our cities, our political activities, and intervene in this nation, and give us grace for all the potentially explosive things that are going to happen. Give us the grace to deal with it. Give us the wisdom, and then crush the works of darkness. Pulverize the works of darkness so that they can't come to full fruition. Derail the works of darkness. We ask this humbly in Jesus' name. Amen and amen.
Amen. Well, fantastic prayer, Paul. I want to thank you for doing that. Something that's not done too often on our show is prayer.
You know, we have the power, Joe. And listeners, we do have that power within us, as Paul has pointed out and so eloquently stated in the prayer. And it's up to us. You know, I often say, and Paul, you just really verified this. I often say that change won't come from the top down. It's got to come from the bottom up. It's got to originate from within each one of us in order to really be effective. And I think that your vision of this great awakening has its roots in the potential in each one of us. And it's up to us to now take the mantle of leadership, whether you're a man, the leader of your family, or whether you're a woman, for instance, without any support. You still have a role to play. And we have to play our roles, our positions. Sometimes all it takes is just to show up. We can win on the numbers. We can win by the demographics. But most assuredly, in my view, we can win if we approach this with sobriety and, knowing that God, we have to be on God's side. And I think after that, yeah, God will be on our side.
We have to be on God's side. We can't do it our own way. We have to do it in a way that the Lord leads us to. And that can only be accomplished through a personal relationship with Jesus and through reading the Bible on a regular basis and getting into the Word of God, allowing the Lord to work in you and through you. And as my dad said, you know, showing up or opening the book and reading it is, 90% of the battle. We're too often sidetracked by distractions, whether relevant or not, and our own personal lives and emotions, but we have to get past that and become stronger as individual people for the times that are approaching, which are uncertain to say the least, as the evil continues to rise in this nation. Folks, we'll be right back with our final hour with Paul McGuire.